Book of Hebrews. Boy, what a great book the book of Hebrews is. Over there towards the back of your Bible. Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and in different manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. God spoke by the prophets in the past. But the writer of Hebrews says, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. Heir of all things, get that. By whom also he made the worlds. Who made the worlds? The Son. God used the Son to make the worlds. Amen. Lord God, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you that today we could open up the Word of God and we can speak from it to the people of God. Bless our hearts. Give us understanding and challenge our hearts and use our lives for your honor and glory as we worship and praise you today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God spoke to men like Enoch back in Genesis chapter 5. Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the prophets in the Old Testament. God spoke to these men. But now he's spoken to us by Jesus Christ, the writer of Hebrews says. And so I want to talk about where the Bible came from a little bit with you today. The Bible, that book you got in your lap there. Think of all the things that God has said to the fathers and the prophets that's in this book. Before the word was even ever written down. And the first major book printed was the Bible. The first major book ever printed by a printing press was the Bible. Around 1450 by Jonathan Gutenberg. And since then, millions and tens of millions of Bibles have been published and sent out all over the world. I've got a number of copies of the Bible, different translations of the Bible. Some of you may have too. And when I finished Bible school at Liberty, they gave me this Bible here. Boy, I wouldn't take nothing for this Bible. I've been having it in my library for years. And the other day, a month or so ago, I got it out. There's so much information in that Bible and footnotes by Bible scholars. And I love my old Thompson Chain Reference Bible too. Man, what a Bible that is. But we got so many study Bibles today to help us to know more about God's Word. To help us understand it. Oh, the people God have used to help us to have a better understanding of God's Word. It's wonderful, folks. And they used to didn't even be a written copy of the Bible. God just spoke to Enoch. And these men I just named a while ago, Noah, Abraham, Isaac. See, it wasn't even written down, as far as we know. It was not until the time of Moses that we know of any written word of what God had said. Moses, 1400 years before Christ. Some think prior to Moses there may have been some lineages kept, like those in Genesis of the descendants from Adam. Somebody like Seth may have kept some record, it's thought, and Moses might have been able to get some of those. But some of this stuff is unknown, how we got all the Bible. But many Bible scholars assume that Moses has written those first five books of the Bible. At least they're credited to him. Probably written during the 40 years in the wilderness. Although some people debate that. But probably that's when they were written. No matter when they were written at least, amen? Amen. And we got a copy of it. After Moses had wrote the first five books and followed other books of the Bible as prophets, like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, many, many others, God spoke to them, had them to write down his word. Because it would be important for you and for me to have knowledge about God. And we got the Bible, and it helps us to know about God's plan. What's all life about, folks? Wouldn't it be something if we didn't even know what life was about? But the Bible tells us God's got a plan. That plan is being worked out. We're coming to a conclusion, a part of that plan, I believe, soon when the rapture takes place. The Bible is not something men came up with, folks. Man didn't come up with the Bible. Man didn't decide to sit down one day and, well, I'm going to write a book of, and we know what today is, the Bible. Man didn't do that. Some people, we got people ignorant enough to think that. There's some old men a long time ago just sat down and wrote this stuff down. No, they didn't. We'll talk more about that. All of God's word is said to be inspired. Inspired. What does that mean? It means God breathed. God breathed out his word. And that's the reason the Bible is true. It came from God, not man. Man was a tool God used to record it for me and for you today. In other words, God is the source of the Bible. God has given mankind his word so we might know of him and his will. The Apostle Paul, in writing a letter to a young pastor named Timothy, made it clear in 2 Timothy 3:16. And you ought to have this verse marked for sure in your Bible, 2 Timothy 3:16. Because God's word says, written down by Paul, all scripture, all, that means the Old Testament and all the New Testament, is given by inspiration of God. That is, God breathed, and is profitable for doctrine, that is, for teaching, like Johnny did this morning, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. In other words, there's a reason why God gave us the Word of God, to teach us about God, to teach us how to live before God, to teach us how to know God, folks. Praise God for the Word of God. And it was given, breathed out from God. It's God's word. Of course, we have many people today that deny the Bible is the Word of God. People like the skeptics, the doubters, the atheists. But you know, sometimes they even get saved, like C.S. Lewis back in the 50s. A very intellectual man, but he was an atheist. But he got to reading the Bible one day and got saved. And became a great promoter of the Word of God, folks. And it does that with many, many atheists and skeptics. If you just listen to it. Because the Bible is not only inspired by God, come from God, but it's a living word. It can convict you. It can draw you to Christ because of the Holy Spirit that uses the Word of God for that purpose. But you got to get under the sound of it for it to have any effect on you. Yeah, that's important. The Apostle Peter wrote in his second epistle how men received the Word of God. Boy, now this is another important verse you ought to have marked in your Bible. 2 Peter 1 and 21. Peter wrote this down. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. Notice that. But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So Peter said the Word of God didn't come in old times by the will of man. Man had nothing to do with it. But he says holy men of God, men that knew God, were moved by God, by the Holy Spirit, to write down God's Word. That's how we got the Bible. God selected out some men. That the Bible was written, it is thought, by about 40 different men. No women. Sorry. God chose men. Man's the head, folks, by God's design. He chose Adam. Then Eve. She's to be a helper. Ladies are to be helpers. That's the reason there's no women preachers in the Bible. Did you hear what I said? They're not to teach men. That's God's policy. It ain't mine. Notice that phrase, not by the will of man. That's a very important statement. Some old men did not decide one day to write what we call the Bible, as some people think. I believe with all my heart today, standing here before you, that this book is the Word of God. Amen. Old Testament and the New Testament. And I believe it's divinely inspired. I believe it's God-breathed. I could not stand up here today and preach if I didn't believe this. I just couldn't do it. That would be so empty to me. Listen, I used to believe it was the Word of God. I've told you this before. I used to believe it, but I don't anymore. I know it is. I know it is. I've gone beyond belief. That's why I can stand here with a clear conscience and preach and proclaim this is God's Word. And what it says, it means. But we're supposed to rightly divide it. Because you can make the Bible say anything if you want to, if it's mishandled. But you have to rightly divide the Word of God. Listen to this with me this morning. Just listen to what I've got here for you. 255 times the Bible says the Word of the Lord. 255 times it says the Word of the Lord. It came to men as God spoke to them. Listen to this. 219 times the Bible says, the Lord said. 219 times it says the Lord says. 46 times the Bible says God said. 2 times it says the Spirit said. 2 times it says the Holy Ghost said. So in the Old and in the New Testament, God is speaking, folks. He's telling men things. Hey, isn't that interesting? Yes, this book is God's Word. It came from God. God Almighty has spoken to men and given them His Word for us today, for all people. And that's why, for many, many years, missionaries have been going into the jungles and to different countries trying to get the Word of God to different people. How foolish for anyone to fail to listen to what God has to say. How foolish not to listen to what this book is saying, because it applies to every one of us. It applies to every one of us. The Bible tells us there's a heaven to gain and a hell to avoid. There's two destinations when this life is over. You get to pick out which one you want. You want to go to heaven? Repent of sin. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll be in heaven just as much as Jesus will be there, according to the Bible. But if you don't repent of sin and trust Jesus, sure as anything, you're going to wind up in hell. God lets people make their choice. He's not forcing anyone. Now, He'll put it to you now, try to impress on you. You need to trust my son, but if you don't want to, he'll let you go right on to where you want to go. Hebrews 1:2 again says, Jesus said, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. God has spoken to us by His Son in these last days. From Matthew to Revelation, we have an account of the life and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. The New Testament. In the Gospels, we see the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In the Gospels, we're told why He came. Why did Jesus come? He loved us. We're told what He did. What did He do? He died on a cross for our sin. We're told death could not hold Him, and He arose conquering death. We're told He defeated the enemy of God and man, Satan. He broke Satan's power when He died on the cross. Satan's defeated. And most people are following a defeated leader today. And ultimately, he's going to be cast into the lake of fire. We're told He ascended from the Mount of Olives back to heaven as His disciples watched. Don't y'all know that was something? That would be more fun to have watched than to see a spacecraft go off from Florida, wouldn't it? Just to see Jesus. He didn't have to have any nuclear power to get Him off the ground, did he, Brother John? He just stood there. Amen. We're told He's coming again. Amen? To receive all who believe in Him. You believe that? We're told that God has appointed Him heir of all things. Everything is going to belong to Jesus one day, even all of us that believe in Him. Amen? You know, we're heirs of Jesus Christ. We're going to enjoy all things with Him forever, folks. Forever. Today we live in expecting life to end here. But when we get to heaven, we won't ever think of that anymore, because we're going to be living forever. We're told that Jesus is our Lord who created the worlds. Jesus is the Creator. God used Him to create everything. We're told one day all our tears are going to be wiped away. Won't that be something? When God Himself does that. Wow. What an awesome God and Savior who has redeemed us, folks. He saved us now. We've been saved. We're being saved. And we're going to be saved. Why? Because we are saved. Amen. He's our divine Savior, Hebrews 1:3 says, who being the brightness of His glory, the express image of His person, upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. A few nights ago, I looked out. There was a full moon. That old thing was just hanging out there, just hanging. There weren't no strings, no posts. It was just hanging out there by itself. God just told it to, He made it and told it to stay there. Folks, that's just so awesome. Now, if you were on the moon and you would look back, you see the earth the same way the moon is. Isn't that amazing? But you couldn't see Tammy on it. Amen. Amen. The brightness of His glory seems to describe His divine nature as it appears in human flesh. What a glorious person Jesus Christ is. Now, when He appeared as a man on earth, He looked like everybody else in His flesh. And our Sunday school lesson today was talking about that, how that Jesus was a man. It's just hard to comprehend this, that the one that can make the universe and everything that's in it could be reduced down to a body and a man like everybody else. It's hard to comprehend. You can't comprehend it. But He did. What a God and what a Savior. Remember how Jesus appeared to John on the Isle of Patmos? Oh, His eyes was a flame of fire. Oh, how glorious He was. He was so glorious, John fell at His feet dead, as dead. Boy, what a divine, glorious person Christ is. He is the Holy One, whose beauty and glory is indescribable. No wonder John fell at His feet as dead, the Bible says. The writer of Hebrews also stated that our Lord was upholding all things by the word of His power. He told that moon, "You stay right there." Wow. Hey, you take something and hold it out there and tell it to stay there and see how long it stays there. Amen. Amen. How can He do this? Because He's God. He does it by His word. He just commands and everything He says obeys. But you know, He's allowed you and me to make our own choices. He's give you freedom. And me freedom. You had the freedom to come here today or to stay in bed. I asked Junior a while ago. I said, "Let's meet at 8:30 Tuesday." "That early?" Same old brother. Oh, If it had been my daddy said that, daddy would have said to us boys, 2:30, wouldn't he, Brother Junior? Because he got us up at 2:30, 3 o'clock to take out that tobacco. Amen. Hey, yet this is the same one we're going to bow down before one day. You know what? We who are saved, we're going to bow willingly. We're going to bow willingly. We're going to be like John. We're just going to collapse before him, Lord, because he's so wonderful, folks. This is the one who deny him now will no time, will have no time for him now, will kneel before him and call him Lord one day. Those that deny him now, have no time for him now, one day they'll have to bow before him. And they'll have to say, he is the Lord. That's what the Bible says. This is the one who will cast all the wicked into everlasting darkness, according to this book. Now, we got people today that don't believe that God would do that to anybody. How could a God of love throw somebody into a lake of fire? Because he hates sin that much. That's why. People just don't understand how holy God is. That's what it required. That's why it required Jesus Christ to come and die, because only his blood was sufficient to cleanse sin. No other blood. People just they don't even stop to think about it, apparently. Animal blood wouldn't do that. It was just pointing to the ones whose blood could do that. I'm still just amazed that God, who would love his son so much, would allow his son to suffer like he did for us sinners. He let him suffer for those he said was none good. That should humble us, folks. We don't have a thing to brag about. The writer of Hebrews wrote about our salvation, when he himself purged our sin. Christ came to purge our sin. He's telling us all about that here in these first verses here, the first three verses of Hebrews chapter 1. This is the glorious one, the mighty one, who has taken on humanity and came into this world of darkness, this curse with sin, to save the most wretched of creatures, fallen man, who was made initially in the image of God, and we still are in the image of God, though marred. We're still in the image of God, though marred. But we've reclaimed some of it back by the new birth. It was the pure love that brought him into our world. He saw nothing in us, but he knew he could make something out of us for his own glory. Something that would cause the angels of heaven to marvel and wonder. And you know what? The angels are still puzzled why God would save sinners. God wouldn't even save the angels. But God saved sinners? The angels are amazed. It was the joy that was set before him, the Bible says, who by his finite wisdom and power could transform us from being a sinner and to being saints. And so even today, by the new birth, we're not any longer viewed as a sinner, although we are. But we are viewed as sons and daughters of God. Boy, now that's a promotion. You want a promotion? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you're elevated to a son of God, daughter of God. That's something to think about, folks. Everybody don't have that status. And we have that status today by faith. By faith. Most humans today don't grasp how desperately vile they are. Man is, in his sinful state, is filled with pride and is blind to the truth of his true condition. That's why so many says, well, I'm as good as anybody else. If God accept them, he'll accept me. See, they're blind to it. Man in his total depraved condition, Jesus came to take all of man's sin upon himself. Even in our total depraved condition, Jesus came to take all of our sin upon himself and to take our judgment and to pay our debt. How do we know all this now? If we didn't have this book, we wouldn't know it. There's no other way to know it except by this book. This, the Word of God only tells us this information. You see how valuable this book is? This is the most valuable thing in the world today. All the world put together is not as valuable as this one book right here. Because it tells you so much important information. It contains the wisdom of God. That's why we need to read it. Hear it. Study it. It is God's word. It's the bread of life. It contains the water of life. And we can believe it because it's true. It's true. It would take the word of God and the Spirit of God to open men's eyes to the truth of their sin. The Word of God and the Spirit of God. That's the only way you can get saved. It's stated in the Word of God, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. All the world could be saved because we have it recorded right here. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Listen to that. Listen to what truth. He that believeth on Jesus is no longer condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Man's already condemned. Jesus didn't come to condemn us. We're already condemned. He come to save us. Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's why people are condemned today. They fail to believe in one Savior. That's why this Christmas, we celebrate the birth of that Savior that came. That's what Christmas is about. You know what? That's a tree, right? He was hung on a tree. He was hung on a tree. Have a star. The night he was born, there was a star pointed to a place where he was at. Christmas is such a beautiful time. That's why it's so important. Don't lose the meaning of Christmas. Yes, we ought to enjoy our time together and food and fun and parties if we want to. But don't forget, the real significance of Christmas is Jesus, our Savior. And we're celebrating Him. But His birth don't save you. He had to die. He had to rise. We've got to believe in what he accomplished. After having died to pay for a man's sin, Jesus arose. And 40 days later, He went back to heaven. And He sat down at the right hand of God, folks. Did you know right now, if you could pull the curtain back and look into heaven, Jesus, as a man, the same man that walked on earth would be sitting right side of God. Isn't that amazing? I believe that. Amen? He's at the right hand of God, the place of authority. God has given Him that right because of what He did for me and for you. After having obtained salvation for all men, He was received in celestial glory in order that He might govern all things. This was the height of His glory that He has taken and conveyed to the highest seat of His empire at the right hand of God. God has placed Him there. His kingdom was given to Him by the Father because He pleased the Father. So you sit down at the right hand of God to govern in the place of the Father. But remember, it took His humility. He had to humble Himself. His sufferings, it took all His suffering and His death in order for Him to one day to have been exalted to the right hand. Look what He went through. Today there's no reason why anyone should be lost. There's no reason why anybody should be lost. The gospel is everywhere today. It's on radio, TVs, newspapers, bulletins, tracts. It's on the internet. It's going out so many different ways through the airways today. There's just so many ways, I can't even think of all the ways the gospel is going out. There's no reason anyone should be lost, folks. You know, that's another reason, Brother Johnny, why I believe it's the end of the age, getting close. The sin debt has been paid for everybody. The offer of salvation is free to everybody. You ain't got to buy it. It's free. It's already paid for. It's a gift. What an awful sin to fail to believe the Word of God. What an awful sin to fail to believe the Word of God. What an awful sin to fail to live and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. What an awful sin. What an awful sin. Let me tell you something. One of these mornings, the church is going to suddenly disappear from this world. I'm talking about the church, the believers that make up the church. This building's not the church. One of these mornings, the church, all believers, is going to suddenly be gone. Leaving behind a world in confusion and disarray. Left behind is going to be a copy of this old book. A lot of copies. You know, back there in our library, we've got probably more than 30 years of ministry back there on videotapes, cassette tapes, and DVDs and CDs. We got it right back there. And when the church gets gone, somebody can break in here, go back there and find all kind of material. This is just one place that's like, where God will leave behind for the tribulation people to find about His love and forgiveness and there'll be more people saved during the tribulation than ever before. But they're going to have to go through the tribulation. Many of them will starve to death. Many of them will be killed by wild animals. Many of them will have something as bad or worse than COVID. Many will be put to death by the sword. But they'll be in the tribulation. What a fearful, horrible time. The worst time in human history, Jesus said. But at least there'll be copies of the word for people to find. 144,000 Jews out preaching. There'll be also two witnesses there in Jerusalem. And after 3.5 years, they'll be put to death. And suddenly the cameras will be focused on them laying dead in the street. And suddenly their life will return and they're going to get up and just go right straight up while everybody watches. That'll cause a hallelujah. So left behind is going to be the word of God that's rejected. Now the wrath of God and men and the devil will descend upon billions and billions of people. But you know the good news is, even though they're left here to face all this wrath, the Antichrist, at least the word of God will be here because God loved them enough to give them another chance, Brother Johnny. Because God loves them. Left behind all this material so they too can believe the living word. But the church will be gone. We'll be rejoicing with Jesus, who will have come and received his bride, the church, carried her to paradise. Going to paradise, folks. Amen. Why? Because we believe the word of God. Amen. So I believe this whole book is the word of God. I know it is. You won't spend too much time reading it or studying it. I encourage you to use all the time you can in it. Keep promoting, getting out the gospel through our tithes, through our church programs. Keep working together. Keep living for the Lord. Keep inviting people to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God for the word of God. Praise God. We were raised at a time when our parents, grandparents, they went to church, took us to church, taught us about the Word of God, God's truth, because He loves us and He wants us all to be with Him forever. And forever is going to be a long, long time. And I don't understand much about what's forever, except we're going to be with the Lord and we're not having any more problems. I tell you what, I've had enough problems. Amen. Loving God, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the people of God and the church of Jesus Christ. Lord, help us as the church get out the gospel. Share the good news of salvation in the Savior, the Son of God, who died on the cross for the sins of all the world, that whoever would believe in Him would have everlasting life. We thank you and love you, Lord, in Christ's name. Amen and amen. And today, why don't you come and thank the Lord at the altar for the Word of God that you got to hear, because some people don't get to hear it. You got to hear the word of God. You got saved because you believed it. And one day you're going to live in heaven forever because of the word of God, folks.